In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will read for the beginning of my sermon from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Amen. In this portion of the text, Peter asked a direct question of Jesus, and Jesus gave him a concrete answer, and at the same time, a very deep lesson about forgiveness. If we examine forgiveness and this theme at a general level, between at a level of this social interaction between people, this teaching of forgiveness and forgiving is surely, regardless of the language, a somewhat familiar matter to everyone. Many people who actually think or really think that a social gesture, forgiveness should, without a doubt, belong to everyone's everyday life to restore trust and to repair the relationship between people. And I am sure that there are still homes where the fathers and mothers, the parents and upbringers of the children would wish that their children could learn and this forgiveness and would learn how to forgive, because it creates a strong basis for building trust in the relations between people. This time that we live in nevertheless seems in a strong way to challenge these kinds of traditional ways of acting. And we can see, for example, in the conversations on the internet, that basic values are broken and people speak angrily towards each other. And it seems to be true that the values of Christianity are crumbling. And this discussion on the internet helps to crumble authority and values in this society. But this matter in our text leads us to, what does it mean that God gives his power for forgiveness, and what does it mean that heaven is also in this forgiveness on earth? If we can with one word picture this group of people who have gathered here at these services, festive services, then this one word that characterizes them would be forgiveness. This is a kingdom of grace and forgiveness, and a basic characteristic of the kingdom of God is that we ask for forgiveness and we forgive in abundance. This happens between two people in their conversation. This happens in the everyday life of a believing home. And then when we gather together around the Word of God, as we have been able to do at these services. This, the core of this forgiveness is a promise of the forgiveness of all sins. And this promise is based on, as we heard from the brother, is based on the word of our Redeemer and Savior when he sent his disciples out into all the world to proclaim forgiveness of sins to all people. He said, "As the Father sent me, so also I send thee. Take the Holy Spirit, to whom you forgive, they sins will be forgiven, and to whom you bind, they will be bound." This task that Christ left contains at least three important points that we could underline. The first point is this, that the forgiveness of sins is of the Holy Spirit, the office of the Holy Spirit. And the second point is that this sermon of forgiveness of sins and releasing from the bonds of sin and also binding into sin, these keys have been left into this world. In these first two points, the question is of the same thing, which are is that the work of Christ continues as the work of the Holy Spirit in his kingdom. And this third point in these words of Jesus is this, that heaven commits itself to this forgiveness when Christ himself assures that to those who are forgiven, they will be forgiven. Dear hearer of the word, if you in your own mind think of this personally, I ask of you, what does it mean to you, or what could it mean to you, that Christ and the Heavenly Father are committed through the Spirit to this word of forgiveness which you are preached from the kingdom of God? I can say that for me it has meant that in this kingdom I have again and again personally experienced the forgiveness of the gift of the forgiveness of all my sins. It means this, that I have not had to, or you do not have to, search for another road to the unity of God. But you and I, we have been able to live this true, that this road leads to heaven. In Psalm 32, it is said about the meaning of forgiveness. Blessed is he whose evil deeds are forgiven, whose sins have been wiped away. Blessed is that man whose sins the Lord does not count and whose heart does not have deceit. In a temporal sense, forgiveness and forgiving, asking for forgiveness and forgiving is not always easy. The one who asks for forgiveness has to confess that he has acted wrongly towards another person and has broken the will of God. And the one who forgives, for him it is sometimes hard to bypass his own pride and his own bitterness or his own impatience towards the one who is asking for forgiveness. This was at the basis of Peter's question when he asked, "How often do I have to forgive my brother?" "Till seven times." And Jesus' answer, who also the evangelist Luke pictures, if he seven times in a day sins against you, and he turns towards you seven times and says, I repent, I am penitent, then forgive him. After this answer, these apostles said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. What did Jesus mean with his answer? He meant this, that God's grace is enough always for a penitent sinner. The border of grace has not been set at seven times of forgiveness, or not even 10 times 7. The forgiveness of God is complete and perfect. As the brother always said, it is completely perfect. This evangelist text encourages us to use this forgiveness abundantly. And he says, forgive each other as God has forgiven you through Christ. And personally feeling this forgiveness also gives strength to have a forgiving mind. When one themselves has received such a great debt forgiven through grace, then one also wants to forgive their loved ones from the heart. When in the beginning of the sermon I examined forgiveness on a social level and in social interactions, we can see that no matter how important asking for forgiveness and forgiving is, it's as if something is missing. It remains just as words of man if it does not receive power from the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and of his redemption work that he has prepared. The Gospel brings salvation to all who believe, as is written in the book to the Romans. The Gospel is an important source of life. It builds life. It corrects and takes care of the relationship between man and God. It brings a good conscience, and its effect is peace, and it strengthens love. It joins the travelers on the road to heaven as escorts for one another. And so, for this reason, in the book of Hebrews, we are exhorted to go bravely towards the grace seat so that we would receive help, those who need grace. And Jesus also taught his disciples with the example of washing their feet. It was an example to correct the sins which come along the journey. And nothing more is needed than the feet be washed, and then a person is completely clean. So for that reason, he said, if I, the Lord and Master, as I have washed your feet, then you also should wash the feet of each other. I have given you an example as I did it for you. This picture of the washing of feet is also a picture and an exhortation to use confession. According to the Bible, the confessor father proclaims the forgiveness of sins to the one who is asking, and he proclaims it unconditionally. To you, dear hearer of the word, who in yourself you feel that you are lacking this peace with God. To you, prodigal son, as a prodigal son, you feel that you are as if dying spiritual hunger in the midst of this world. You who are longing to come back to the service bench of your childhood, where you were able to hear this familiar sermon, where you were able to hear the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood. To you, this forgiveness, this sermon of forgiveness is a call into the kingdom of God, into the home of your Father. The prophet Jeremiah said, I have always loved you. For that reason, I pull you towards me faithfully. A person is the only being in the world who can hear the voice of God. Take comfort in Him and love and serve God. And this is because God has been created as the image of God, or man has been created in the image of God. God has meant man to live in unity with Him. And that's why we are taught a person's heart finds peace only with God. But no one can find this true peace and get the forgiveness of sins with his own works. But the sermon of the kingdom of God is needed. As we heard before, faith comes from hearing, but hearing from the words of Jesus Christ. This is what happened in the home of Cornelius, where Peter preached of him. All the prophets testify that he preached that all who believe will receive the forgiveness of their sins through his name. And this is what happened to the servant of the king of Ethiopia and to the seller of purple and to Saul of Tarsus and so forth. Luther says in one of his writings that Christ as a forgiver can be found in his kingdom and nowhere outside of it. This is what Luther teaches and says. One who wants to find Christ has to first find the congregation. For how could anyone know where Christ is if they did not know where his believers are? And still, the prayer of the kingdom of God is affected through the strength of the Holy Spirit, and it affects a hearer's heart. And this happens, which John wrote of. But to those who accepted him were given strength to become as children of God, and they believed on his name. And for this reason, I want to now encourage you to believe your unbelief and all your sins forgiven in the holy name and precious atoning blood of Jesus without any demands of any gift in return. When God can, in this way, through His Spirit, give the gift of faith into your heart, this faith will help you see the beauty of God's congregation and will help you rejoice in the same way as is pictured in the examples of the Bible of those who received repentance and how they rejoiced. And the Gospels protect you also and unite you to the congregation of Christ. You, dear brother and sister, personally, feeling sinful, feeling doubting and tempted, you also, with the merit of Christ, can believe all your sins forgiven in the holy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and in His precious atoning blood. In Jesus' name, amen. We will unite in prayer. Dear God, Heavenly Father, you give us our sins forgiven every day. You want us to forgive each other. Give us strength and wisdom to meet our loved one or communicate with them according to your will in the correct manner and with grace. Your Holy Spirit and Holy Word calls ones who have strayed, who are lost, and refreshes the ones who are weary, and lifts up the ones who have fallen. Protect us as believers in this kingdom and in this faith until the end of our lives. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.